Good to be back with you this morning. I appreciate Michael taking my class this past Wednesday as I was down at Children's Harbor close to Alexander City at a camp with about 50 young people in the high school age, you know, ninth grade to freshman in college. Noah Gassaway and Ethan were down there with me. We had a good few days of study together, and it was very uplifting. The kids were all very respectful and attentive to us as we tried to lead them in Bible discussions, and it was a very good week. And then we returned yesterday and went straight to Tanny Hill, and we're camping there with the Biddles, as is our custom. We like to go either when it's raining or freezing. So we're going to be visiting tonight where Wes Brown preaches at the North Bibb congregation. So Jason is going to be preaching for me tonight, and I appreciate that as well. And I appreciate Tom leading that song, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." It really is a good introduction to our lesson and what we're going to talk about today. And what we want to discuss is what we saw in our reading this morning in Luke chapter 22. Jesus told Peter that he was going to deny him. And, you know, how would you feel if somebody told you that? You know, I know that you're going to fail. I know that you were going to deny me. And, you know, that's not something that Peter wanted to admit. And this lesson this morning, if I could get to come on, is we'll use today's vernacular, Peter's epic fail. Peter rejected those words. Peter rejected what Christ told him. I'm not going to fail. I'm not going to reject you. It's very likely if we were told that, you know, we're getting a little warning here, you know, Randy, you're going to deny me. No, I'm not. I won't do that. You're wrong about that. But look at verses 31 through 34 of Luke chapter 22. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." But he said to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." Then he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me." And you know what? Jesus was absolutely right about Peter. Peter did exactly what Jesus said that he would do. And probably from time to time when you've read this passage, you ask yourself the question, how could Peter do such a thing? And here Jesus had warned him what was going to happen. And you know, with that kind of warning, you would think that Peter would have listened to him. And maybe thought about, you know, if Jesus said I'm going to do this, maybe I need to think about how I can avoid doing what he said I was going to do. How can I avoid denying him? But, you know, the truth of the matter is that very night, Peter would go on to deny Jesus just like Jesus said. And so I guess we could say, with him having a warning as he did, and he did it anyway, we'd call it an epic fail. You know, if I was Peter, I may not want anybody to know about this mistake and this failure. But, you know, the Holy Spirit has recorded this event for us, so that we can avoid making the same mistakes that Peter made. And this gives us insight into the battle that we face. You know, Tom led the song, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." And the song talks about the enemy. The enemy is going to come after us, but you know, this battle belongs to the Lord. So we want to look this morning at these verses in Luke chapter 22 to see how we can be successful in this battle against Satan and take to heart these things, because, you know, today and every day, you know, we're going to be engaged in battle. And that's one of the lessons that we tried to tell the the kids down at camp the past few days, the theme of our Bible studies was dealing with adversity. And sometimes there's adversity that comes upon you because of mistakes that you've made. And so we see here some adversity that comes upon Peter because of mistakes that he made. Sometimes adversity comes upon us that's through no fault of our own. It may be a death in the family. It may be a tornado. It may be a flood. It may be all kinds of things. It may be, you know, the economy. So sometimes people have adversity through things that are out of their control. And you know, we'll talk more about that in other lessons. How do we deal with that? And Peter has adversity here. He is facing something that was predicted. So the first thing we want to focus our attention on is that we need to recognize that we do have an enemy. And Jesus told Peter who the enemy was. Jesus told Peter that the devil knows who you are. And, you know, that really is kind of a terrifying thing when you think about it. Look at verse 31 again. Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Satan knows who you are, Peter, and he's out to get you. And the devil knew Peter. And the devil knew that he could influence Peter, and certainly he did. And Jesus made that clear to Peter and the other apostles that they had an enemy. And he also makes that clear to us that we have an enemy. And it's also interesting, you know, that Peter is the one that tells us in his epistles that we have this enemy that's seeking to devour us. He knows you, and he knows me, and he knows what our strengths and our weaknesses are. And he knew what Peter's weaknesses were. So it is bad to consider that Satan knows us, but it gets worse, you know, when we think about, well, just like Peter, he's coming after us too. You know, it's an enemy that has a single purpose in mind, and that's to destroy us, as he attempted to destroy Peter. You know, Jesus said that Satan wanted to sift Simon as wheat, and a sift may not be a device that we use much today, but it was used for people to filter the grain from the chaff. You know, there's part of the wheat that's good to eat and part of it that's not, and that needed to be separated somehow. So it would be put in that filter, and it would be shaken. It would be agitated so much that the chaff would fall out, and what you would have left was the wheat. And so Jesus is saying that, you know, Satan is fixing to shake you up. He's fixing to agitate you to the point that you know, he is going to shake your faith. And Satan did successfully do that. He successfully shook the faith of Peter. He was effective because Peter evidently didn't take this warning seriously, or he didn't take Satan seriously. And we see the result. You know, there are so many times that I have been warned and have not listened to the warning. We have signs all over the roads that tell us that there are warnings. You know, this bridge may ice over when it's cold. We saw a car that was in the median of 459 this morning on the way here. I don't know what had happened, but I did notice that it was close to a bridge, and I thought, well, you know, perhaps there was some ice there and it caused them to run off the road. Don't know what happened, but a lot of times, you know, there are signs that tell us that something bad could happen. You know, double fines in this area because of construction, and people speed through anyway, and then they get stopped. Well, they ignored the warning. You know, my dad, I told the kids at camp that my dad used to tell me that I needed to learn from the mistakes of others because I didn't have time to make all the mistakes myself. And then I found out later that Mark Twain actually said that, and my dad stole it. But you know, the point was, is my dad wanted me to learn. But did I always learn from the mistakes of others? No, I didn't. You know, I made a lot of the same mistakes that other people make. And Peter here is warned. If Satan is trying to take you, he's going to shake you. He's going to sift you as wheat. And Jesus told him exactly what he was going to do. Peter said, I'm not going to do it. And he did it anyway. So if we are going to be victorious in a battle against Satan, we have to realize, number one, that we have an enemy, and that he's out to get us. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, kind of, you know, make fun of or dismiss the idea or the reality of Satan or the devil. And therefore they fall for these kind of lies. And if we don't realize that we have an enemy and that we will be tempted to deny Christ, it'll just be a matter of time before we are defeated. The devil knows you, he knows me, he knows what our weaknesses are, and we need to do something about it if we're going to be successful in the battle that we just sang about. But that's not all that we need to know to be successful. You know, one thing that I think we overlook sometimes here that Jesus said is not only did Jesus tell him, you're going to deny me, but I'm going to help you. I've prayed for you. I have really overlooked that many times when I have read this passage, but Jesus was saying, I'm going to provide assistance for you through this battle. So when Jesus told Peter that he was about to attack, he didn't say, well, you know, be warm and be filled, you know, good luck. He told him that he was going to help him. And he provided assistance to Peter before this happened, and he provided assistance after that happened. Let's consider what he said. Let's again look at verse 31. Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and that when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. So, number one, he prayed that Peter's faith would not fail. But he also knew that Peter was going to brush aside these words of warning. But he gives him some other words that he can use for comfort after his denial. And I wonder if Peter remembered this after his denial and he goes out and weeps bitterly. Jesus said that I don't want your faith to fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen my brethren. Well, that's exactly what Peter did. Peter did return to Jesus. And you know from other talks that I've given that one of my favorite passages is found in the book of Mark when the women come to the tomb and Jesus is not there and Mark includes something that the other Gospels don't, where it says, go tell his disciples and Peter. It doesn't just say, go tell his disciples. It says, go tell his disciples and Peter. It's a message from God that God has not given up on you. You know, I still need you. Don't count yourself out of the group of the disciples. And so Jesus is also predicting here that, you know, you're going to deny me, but it's not going to destroy you. You're going to deny me, but when you have returned to me, I still have work for you to do. So Peter could have remembered this after he denied Christ. Well, Jesus said I was going to do it, but he said that he's still got work for me to do. So Jesus is providing help for him, and that he was going to be able to get back up and still be a valuable asset for God. And that is exactly what Satan doesn't want when we fail. What Satan wants when we fail is for us to be down and stay down and be destroyed and don't have the humility and don't have the courage to come back to God and ask for forgiveness. In the parable of the prodigal son, when the prodigal son came to himself, you know, he had to come to a state of mind where he would go and admit that he was wrong. I've sinned before God and I've sinned in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And when we can humble ourselves and go back to God, he'll accept us. But Satan doesn't want that. Satan doesn't want us to know that Jesus is there for us, that Jesus knows that we are going to have times that we fail, but he told Peter, you're going to fail, but you're going to come back. And then you have work to do. I want you to strengthen my brethren. In our spiritual battles, we have that help from Christ. He's made provisions on our behalf so that we can be successful in the battle. He, you know, one of the ways that he helps us is that he lived on earth just like us so that we can have confidence that we can overcome sin just like he did. You know, one of the points that my dad made in some of his lessons was about God understanding us. And how do we know that God understands us? Well, Jesus became us. He became like us. And he always made the point that I'm not trying to say that without Jesus coming to earth and living as a man, that God would not have the ability to understand his creation. I certainly do believe that he would. But isn't it much more convincing to us when we know that Jesus came and lived this life and we see that he was tempted like us? Maybe we would not be convinced that God understands us without Jesus coming and living as us. You know, my dad used the illustration that, one day my mom was crying about something, laid her head on his shoulders and said, I'm so glad you understand me, Frank. And he said, understand you? Who said I understand you? He said the reason he's never going to understand women is because he's never been one. And I think most men relate to that. You know, we can do our best to try to understand our wives and women, but, you know, Jesus understands us. Jesus was us. He went through temptation as us. He died on the cross. He rose from the grave. Yeah, he's given us the ability to have victory over Satan. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So here we see that Jesus, you know, over 2,000 years ago, he made the provisions for us to give us the victory over the devil, as the Hebrew writer says. We can be victorious over Satan because of Jesus. He's not only done that, he's come and lived on the earth and died for us. He's given us his word. And, you know, through the word that has been provided for us, we learn about, you know, the potential to fall. We learn about these potential pitfalls in our life. And we can be victorious. You know, when we, you know, for example, when we read through the book of Proverbs, you know, that entire book is about avoiding pitfalls. There's so much wisdom in that book and so much practicality, so many practical things that we can learn if we will read it and we'll do what it says. The Holy Spirit has given us the Word so that we can be victorious. And also, God has given us support through His people. You know, that's one reason why I enjoy associating with you. I enjoy associating with other Christians as I did the past few days, being around a group of 50 or 60 young people who the majority of them, you know, are sincerely trying to serve God. That's a very encouraging thing. It's uplifting to be around others that are trying to serve God as you are. Galatians chapter 6 tells us that we need that support. God has given us that spiritual family to support one another. Galatians 6, 1 and 2, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Also in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort of those with comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So Paul tells the Corinthians, you've been comforted by God, and in turn, you need to comfort one another. So he has given us his word. He has given us support through his people. And the most important thing is that we have the promise from Christ that he won't ever leave us. He won't ever leave us. Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, when he says to his disciples to teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And he then tells them, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, Jesus told his disciples, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to forsake you. So Jesus has given us the help that we need. You know, and some might think, well, I understand, you know, what Jesus has done for Peter. But, you know, Peter still fell. And does that mean that the things that Jesus did for Peter weren't effective? No, the answer is no. Jesus was not the problem, was he? Peter was the problem. Peter did not listen to the warnings of Christ. He evidently didn't appreciate those warnings or think that they held much weight, because Peter reacted and said, "I'm not ever going to do that." And because of that, he stumbled when temptation came his way, as was read for us this morning, as you read on in Luke chapter 22. You know, you don't have to read very far after the warning to see that Peter didn't heed the warning. When he denied Jesus three times, one of the saddest verses, I believe, in the Bible is when it says that Jesus turned and looked at him. And just imagine the way that Peter felt when Christ did that. I know how I would feel. And how do you think he would have felt? It would have just been terrible. But how do you think Jesus felt? I always think about how Peter felt when Jesus turned and looked at him, but I don't often think, well, how did Jesus feel? Jesus' heart would have been broken too. And we break the heart of God when we do what we say we won't, when we fail to appreciate the warnings that God has given us, to use the help that Jesus has given us, to appreciate the help that we have from our brethren who want to encourage us. And when we fail to appreciate the warnings that we have, you know, we're headed for an epic failure as well. And just like Peter, you know, we'll break the heart of Christ. You know, what Peter did was bad. Yet, you know, there was good news for Peter, as we see, as he continues to live his life. There's good news for us, even when we fail to appreciate the warnings that have been given us, because, you know, we can start over. You know, there are many times that I would hear from my mom and dad, "Randy, you knew better than that." How many times have parents told their children, "You know better than that"? Peter knew better, but he could start over. Peter was given another chance. Peter did not allow this failure to determine the rest of his life. He used it to refine the rest of his life. He used it to get better. He got back up. He had lost a battle, you could say, but he didn't lose the war. And he remembered the words of Jesus. Let's look again at Luke chapter 22 and verse 32. "But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." That's what Peter did. He strengthened his brethren. He brought the gospel on the day of Pentecost, preached the first recorded sermon that we have. You know, Peter brought the gospel to the household of Cornelius and introduced to the Jewish world that the Gentiles were now accepted into the kingdom of God. Peter had a very vital role in the foundation of getting the word out, getting the gospel out, and preaching the good news. So the lesson for us is that when we fall short, we can start over. Like I said before, but the devil wants us to stay defeated. He wants us to stay down. He wants us to be down for the count, and whatever that huge failure is, to define it, it's going to define the rest of your life. Haven't you seen that sometimes when somebody has had some kind of big failure in their life, and that failure has defined the rest of their life? You know, if you think about a lot of stars, like, you know, Whitney Houston, for example. You know, had a beautiful voice, a lot of talent, and her life was defined by her drug use, and it ended her life. Never got over that. And it's very sad when you see people get stuck in some failure and they never can get over that. How do we do that? How do we overcome? Well, we have to acknowledge our shortcomings. Let's look at Luke 22, verses 61 and 62. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So first of all, we see here that Peter remembered what Jesus said. And let's read on. Think back about what Jesus said. Jesus said, "When you have returned to me, strengthen my people." Satan wants you to believe that you can't be forgiven of those big mistakes, and we have to realize that that is a lie. There are so many people in the world today that have failed in one way or another, and they have focused on that. They have, like a laser, and they will not get past that. But after failure, people may give up on themselves, but Jesus doesn't. We have to be committed to a life of holiness. Peter could start over. He did. And we see the fruits of that. And we can start over too and be a valuable disciple in the kingdom of God. Now, everybody in here has failed. And many will have what you might call epic failure in their life. Any sin that keeps us out of heaven is epic failure. They need to be repented of. We need to change. God is willing to give us another chance. He gave the prodigal son another chance, but the prodigal son had to decide to come back home. Sometimes you see a child that's doing wrong and the parent wants to go in and snatch them out of whatever situation that they're in against their will. And, that might be effective in some degree or another. But you can't force somebody to repent. You can't force somebody to come back to God. You can't force somebody to become a Christian. They have to make that choice themselves. So the question is that when it's time for us to start over, will we do it? And that's a lesson not just for those that are not Christians. It's a lesson for all of us that live our life and know that Satan is trying to get us every day. He's seeking us like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. He's not going to stop doing that to you. He's going to try to get you to compromise. He's going to try to get you to turn your back on Christ. And if you do, what are you going to do about it? You will have to come back to God just as Peter did and repent. And every time that it happens, get back up. So I hope that you can... We, like my dad says, we need to learn from the mistakes of others. Let's learn from the mistake of Peter. Let's listen to the warnings. And we've been given this word for a reason, so that we can read it, we can understand it, and we can try to use the wisdom that has been given to us to help us live a productive life for God, so that we can be together in eternity. If we can help you in any way to do that, if you've started the life of a Christian, haven't been faithful and need to return, or if you haven't begun that life. Life will be a failure if you die and are lost. If we can help in any way to make that right, we'd invite you to come while we stand together and sing.